The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Friday, the 20th of June, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Anyway, I don't know how to say this, right? But whoever put Obey on me to stop me from going in their scarlet plum tree, I don't like you no more. Who caused me broke my toe? One of y'all did it. One of y'all saw me spying your mango tree or your scarlet plum tree or your soursop tree. Oh, your longan tree. Oh, they out soon too, you know, longans. That's what you call them? I don't know. I just procure them. I don't study them. But the point is, whoever put that bad thought on me for just looking in your fruit tree, I don't like you no more. But you don't know, I like a chickchani. I don't need all five of my toes to climb tree. You thought you'd catch me, but you didn't. You didn't, and I'm back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I've got a full show this morning. I've got two sets of guests, interesting guests. Then we'll be only talking for a few minutes. I'm excited about not just what they have going on. They have a nice event happening tomorrow, but what they do generally. It's my kind of speed. I like it. And then I have Mr. Stanley Mitchell joining us. It's track season. We're going to be talking sports, local sports, a bit of international sports. But before we get there, I've got a couple of housekeeping notes. Don't forget the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition is still on and running. Now that it's summertime and we're going to have more students listening to the radio, possibly, right, and not focused on exams and school, I'm going to get Mr. Dennis Bethel in to continue the competition, but also for him to give us a bit of history, why the competition, his family connection to Loyalist Charles Farquharson, etc. I want to get the show, again, I say I want to get the show started. I'm excited. I got two, I want to say important, they're important to me, and I think they're important to the people who know these people. Two shout outs, two congratulations. First of all, to my grandnephew, Camden Green. He goes to Walter Parker Primary School in Grand Bahama, and he is this year's valedictorian. And he also secured top male athlete, which makes sense because the men in his family, they are athletic, they are community driven, right? They are family focused. In fact, the sweetest little video of my grandnephew as he's walking off the stage, and his younger cousins and sister, and think they come in to hug him and give him a big hug. And this little shorty boy, this little toddler, he stand right there with his hands up. And he let my grandnephew know, you ain't gonna leave this spot without giving me one of them hugs, you giving all these people too. Right? And that right there is an example of the green men, the ones that I know. I also have a very special shout out and congratulations to a young man. And I can add his father into, because your parents, you're like to, it's important to also acknowledge the support systems that help drive our young people to success. So on behalf of Brian Beckford, we're saying congratulations to Isaiah Beckford, who just graduated with his BS bachelor's in public health from Monroe University. Here's the thing. This young man graduated summa cum laude, 7 times on the president's list, 1 time on the dean's list, and with a 3.87 cumulative GPA. And we say, well done, Mr. Beckford, well done. And to his father and his mother and the family and support system that helped to drive him to this success, we say, well done also. I also send a special shout out to my sister-in-law, Winsome Green. If anybody love up with their grandchildren, Winsome is a perfect example of that love. Congratulations, and congratulations to all the young people who are graduating this year. And listen, I'm telling you, congratulations whether you are at the top of your class or not. This thing called life is hard. And I want you to know that some of us adults are prepared to acknowledge that we have not done our best at creating an environment which will optimize, right, your success. That an environment that will drive you to succeed. In fact, a lot of us benefited from environments that guaranteed we succeeded. There was no question about it. You know you were going to succeed. You know you were going to go places if you were able to be in this space. And we have a duty of care to younger Bahamians to continually recreate those spaces for them. And doing the hard work of figuring out how to recreate that space and that experience in this time for those people. Not for ourselves, but for others. Anyway, I'm excited to be here. And again, whoever was trying to stop me from climbing in the Scarlet Plum Tree this weekend, I want you to know I have a toe sling. I could be in that tree, trust me. Also, trust me, if I get a chance, I join in Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. They want to take you on a 7-day cruise for 4 to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have 4 ways to enter, 4 ways to win. 1, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. 2, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. 3, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Or 4, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and 3 loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare taxes and gratuities not included. Now, I've got 2 special guests joining me in studio. I want them to introduce themselves. So a brief section, we're promoting an event that's happening tomorrow, but more than just an event, right? Like it's a culture, it's a space, it's a mindset. And I think a lot of people would be interested in it. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
How y'all doing?
We're great.
Now, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Jacqueline Sawyer, and I'm presently the president of the Carver Garden Club. And we're excited to bring to you our advertisement on our show this coming weekend, which is tomorrow at Doris Johnson Senior High School. We're looking forward to seeing many, many Bahamians out there joining us at this auspicious event. It's a learning process for all. So we love to see you there.
Absolutely. Madam?
Hi. Good morning. I'm Cynthia Gibbs, and I'm the chairperson of the show. And I join my president in extending to you a very, very warm and cordial invitation to join us tomorrow. We have lots of things planned for you. The show, of course, one of our objectives is to show our audience what can be grown here successfully. But I want to really take a moment to showcase the students of Doris. They are going to have a produce section. They're going to be selling produce from their school garden. So listen, please come. just to support those children.
Okay, so this is a, okay, is it a plant show? Is it a flower show? Is it a horticultural show, which I think is broader and encapsulates a bit more?
Yes, indeed. It's a plant show, plant sale, and of course, we're featuring again Doris Johnson students and their vegetables that they grow in their school.
Now listen, so I didn't, okay, so Doris Johnson has an agricultural program and it has a farmer's market to sell the produce. Do they do it regularly or are they doing this for the horticultural show?
Now, as far as I know, they're doing this because we're having the show at their school and this is an opportunity for them to expose themselves and gain traction with the public to know that agriculture is alive and well at Doris.
Absolutely. So, dear Bahamas, y'all get out there. And buy the produce. Show the young people that if they grow it, we will buy it. See, because we're saying to them, we'll buy it if you grow it. But now it's time for you to show them, you grew it, we're here to buy it. Also, I'm glad that they have an agricultural program. And because of the location, right? Doris Johnson, Prince Charles, sort of southeast, right? Not quite on the water's edge. But that used to be, like, the eastern side, there was agriculture out here. Where I live, I'm certain where I live used to be a juju orchard. Like, I'm certain that large tracts of land in that area were juju orchards, right? Because growing up, there were just juju trees everywhere that only disappeared as development increased in the area, yes. Right? And so that's apropos. Okay, so what time does the show start?
Well, the show opens to the public at 12 noon.
Okay.
And we go on until 6 o'clock.
Oh, no, man, that's great, right? Because that means you could go check out your other couple little farmers markets, see what they have available. Because we're entering the summer months, it's getting hotter, so there's a reduction in some of the leafy greens, the winter things.
Right.
But I can imagine an agricultural program will not stop growing those things just because of the heat, right? So this may be your time to get your last local lettuce of the season, right? Your last local tomatoes of the season as well.
And of course, we want to showcase the other vendors who are going to be supporting our show.
Okay.
Now, these vendors are top-notch.
All right. Are they all sort of
horticulture,
decoration.
They're,
okay,
yes.
All right.
Lots of ornamentals. So if you want to add to your collection, Dale Pess, Donnell Ferguson, Marina Greaves, and of course, Kent Lightburn, they're going to be there. So you're going to have lots and lots of plants to choose from. So you will not only be able to see what the members have grown and showing you when you buy that little plant to see what it could become.
What it turn into, right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, so you have...
There's like proof of purchase.
Yes,
look at it.
Yeah, see what this is? Go right over there. You can
get one
of
those.
And grow it. Yes.
All right. And after doing a little reading, I found this wonderful article. Gardeners celebrate the beauty of 50. The Carver Garden Club in collaboration with three other garden clubs. And let me make this note. This particular club was founded in 1946.
Yes, by the late Pearl Cox,
right, it's,
and Flo Major.
It's older than the nation state, right? And these four garden clubs, Carver Garden Club, Nassau Garden Club, International Garden Club, and City Garden Club combined have over 200 years in the business, quote unquote, right? Fascinating. Okay, so I still at war with y'all. But let me tell you why I war in with y'all garden clubs.
Really?
Because it's a fruit tree versus ornamental tree kind of vibe, right? Like the passion fruit. I know some people, they don't want any fruit to grow on their vine. They just want the flowers. They don't want you to pick the flower to make tea. Passion fruit flower and passion fruit leaf make some of the best tea ever. They don't want you to pick the flowers for your tea. They don't want the flower to turn into a fruit. They just want flowers. And so we warring over yard space. When I come there, we have to figure out how we're going to balance our gardens with both ornamentals and edibles. And then we're going to find the edibles that are ornamental when they're not in edible mode. Right? They pretty when they are not producing fruit. And then when they're producing fruit, they're even prettier.
But you know, Erin, I think we have all grown a lot as we garden, and we've come to realize, let our medicine be our food and our food be our medicine.
Yes.
And so we are more conscious now of growing things that are edible. So I don't believe your war is going to last very long with us. You know,
that's good, because you see I injured. It ain't going to last long anyway. But you're right, a conversation, especially sort of for young people, right, that you can actually make money from horticulture, and you can make, and like horticulture is a subset, right, of agriculture, of food production, and sort of plant and ornamental production, but that we can also find balance, tremendous balance, and do both, right? And so your farm is actually, you know, looks like a garden. Mm-hmm. Your garden is actually a farm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go through the details for the event again. Tomorrow, Saturday, 12 p.m.
And our patron is?
Lady Darling.
Okay.
Yes, who has graciously agreed to be our host and patron for the event, and we're really, really excited about that also. Mm-hmm. So she's been around, and she loves gardening, she loves plant and decorating, so we have the perfect person who is our patron at the moment.
Yeah. Absolutely. So,
and if there's one vendor we don't want to leave out, and talking about food, and this is Breadwinners. You may know them. They make beautiful breads, and so they're going to be at Doris tomorrow. So please come out and support the Breadwinners and
Batter Girls.
On the Batter Girls,
oh, how food too.
Listen,
the Comforters. Yes.
If you don't understand what I was thinking just now, right? The Breadwinners. Mm-hmm. I just watched somebody make a focaccia bread, right? And they had edible flowers baked into it, so it's sort of almost for the aesthetic, but it's an edible flower. I'm thinking of the way, you know, the ways in which like the ornamental and the edible work together. I've even thinking about all the things I could put in my veggie fritter, because I have, anyway, like I have broadleaf thyme, and I have rosemary, and I have oregano, I have butterfly pea flower growing in my yard, like ornamentals almost.
Okay.
Yes.
I pick for food production, I pick for tea, but they actually just look like they're beautiful ornamentals, right? Like, it don't matter what you don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to have any value other than the aesthetic. And we still love you, and you're going to be there. But then to know that it has value beyond the aesthetic,
yes.
Right, is powerful.
Your spinach, I use the oregano, you know, that grows wild. I use it in some parts as like a ground cover, you know?
Exactly.
And
anything with thyme all in it, will, I think, repel mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So your Spanish thyme, your rosemary, thyme. Right? Your thyme officinalis, cooking thyme as well, right? They have those purposes. They have a nice aesthetic. They're hardy for ground cover. Good. They deter and repel insects, and they taste good. Taste very good. A part of our diet. Okay, is there a cost to get in?
A small cost, $5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the Doris Johnson Agricultural Program portion of the market, will they be open before 12 or when gates open at 12?
We'll all open at the same time, 12 o'clock.
All right. So like I said, that's good, because I could go check out a couple other farmers markets in the area. I don't know if Yamacraw Farmers Market is on this week. They rotate weekends.
Yeah,
and because people go to the market early, and then you come to Doris Johnson to check out what the students are growing and if they have what you couldn't find in the other markets. Oh, this is fantastic.
Yes.
Ladies, I hop along, we'll hop along.
Hop along.
I'm going to try to get there.
Well, this is so interesting to hang out with you this morning, Aaron. And I didn't know you were such a great gardener. You were keeping a secret from us.
Well, listen, bears come around looking for food sources. See, normally like they kind of just look for farms. But then you miss the food sources because you're only looking for farms. Like, you can't see the fruit trees, right, for the farm. But I got some fruit tree in my yard. And the more they grow, the more excited I get about them, you know? You know the song by Eddie Minnis? My mommy is a C-grape millionaire.
Oh, okay.
Wow. We got 17 Juju Factory and 15 Tamarind Factory. Ooh. Eddie Minnis know what he was talking about. Wonderful. Anyway, ladies, I'm looking forward to the event on Saturday, the Carver Gardening Club, yeah, yes. Established 1946.
And still going strong.
Still going strong.
Absolutely.
And we would are open to young, energetic gardeners who want to be a part of us. We would welcome
them. Absolutely. I'm going to need some of y'all young people to get on board. There's a Facebook page. There is a Facebook account. And there are lots of stories online to learn more about the Carver Garden Club that was named after George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my uncle, the peanut man.
Yes,
ladies, thank you so much, producer. Yeah, let's go to a break tomorrow morning. Well, tomorrow midday, 12 noon, Doris Johnson Senior High School, Prince Charles Drive. Be there so you could share in the wealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Ms. Jackie Sawyer, Ms. Cynthia Gibbs, thank you for joining me today. We're going to a break, and then I'm going to bring in Mr. Stanley Mitchell. We're talking track and field. Where are we as the season is well underway? Stay tuned. Guardian 96.9 FM.
Well, lately, I've been in the backyard. I'll show you how it's going. This song is meant to teach you to keep a garden growing. Digging in the soil, maybe plant some seeds. We're making a real connection, tending to the weeds right now. And we could be tending all the time. Can't you see the sun is shining? It's good for growing things outside. But just maybe I can grow chrysanthemums, marigolds, hydrangeas, lavender and daisies, irises, azaleas, dahlias and peonies, lots of big sunflowers, tulip lantana pansies. We're tending to our garden now.
Hey Bahamas, it's your girl Coach Trishana, and guess what? I'm over here now on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with Your Lane Talk Show. Starting Sunday, July 6th at 4 p.m., I'm bringing you real talk and fresh perspective on everything that matters to us as women. Relationships, beauty, finances, faith, and so much more. I'll continue to bring transparency to taboo topics as I aim to empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages, stepping boldly out of the four walls and into media. So tell a friend and tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. We're walking in your lane on Guardian Talk Radio.
Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. It's Your Lane Show with Coach Trish Hannah.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back. And thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, I get a text here that says, I will pork you in your head. And I know what, you know what text, sir? I received that. Because if I catch somebody in my scarlet plum tree, I may pork them in the head too. But here's the key, pork me with scarlet plum. Right? Like if you catch me in the mango tree, pork me with a mango. With the, right? Like when I go to the police complaint, I say, hey, this boy catch me in this mango tree. And he pork me. They can say, with what, Miss Green? With what? A mango. They say, oh, and you complaining? I'd pork you with the ground. How about that? All right, so good morning, Mr. Mitchell. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I good. Callers to say they miss you. I got to get you back on more regularly.
Okay.
I told you I wanted to talk about track, but what you wanted to talk about is even more exciting to me than track. Because I think I was talking a bit about that yesterday. I was talking about this thing called epistemic injustice where...
You're going over my head.
It's where the people who have the knowledge, their voices are silenced because their voices disrupt the dominant narrative, right? Like, we don't really need to hear from y'all because y'all messing up my story, right? I've been thinking about the extent to which sports has driven the Bahamas, right? Like, the extent to which sports has been at the center of development, national development, community development, personal development, right? As we transitioned into independence, how sports was a part of that space in which we formed our identities, right?
And then it stopped. And then it was like we got infiltrated by the man of wars and these little square lighted machines that come into your living room. One in every room, and we don't go out anymore. We don't support anything anymore, and that bothers me right mm-hmm. to my core.
I have a memory. I used to go down into Johnson Road and play basketball as a young lady, right? Mm-hmm. And in the evening, coming into the night, and there was a time almost every night when your little children need to come off the court.
Yeah.
Because we've come to practice, or even more, they would say, like, to me, you need to go home now. And I didn't realize what it was, but now I realize they were having community games.
Right.
And adults from outside of the community were coming into the community. And those people are saying,
difference.
Right, little children, y'all go home and be safe. This is the community, you know, right? The space has changed. I remember that. I want to say I remember CJ Kyle from off the court always taking care of me and saying, Bernie, it's time to go home now, right? There was community in Johnson Road. There were things happening. And like you say, something happened and that disappeared. A guy like Eric Sawyer, III, will remember going to the gym to watch games.
Yeah, peeping through the little hole because you couldn't get in. It was so crowded.
Yeah.
A.F. Adley Gym. Then they build this other thing. I don't know what that is. And that was packed for a while and then...
Everything
like
died off.
I used to say at baseball in the latter days, I don't know why they build a stadium here so big and magnificent with nobody in it. Because in the old one, you could get on Bahamas Air jet and pass through and count the people as the jet passed by.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Somebody's got to keep the balance going.
Yeah.
You know what community meets were back in the 80s? Community basketball they had mini basketball growing up. People, Dr. Larry Davis, my son Penniman, and all of those, keeping the communities going. Mm-hmm.
And to the point where, like, I grew up in a community, right, you know, right off Johnson Road, mm-hmm. a little more bougie than Johnson Road. But the neighbors, look at that neighbors, I don't want to say hated us, but we were in the road every day, blocking up the road, playing basketball.
But that was expected.
Yeah.
We were growing up, and they saw us play, and they would take the time because we had a hoop on a pole, and they knew that that was our space.
Mm-hmm.
And you could come through, but you can't come through speeding. Now they disregard.
Right. So for me, taking a look at it, first thing I thought is it because the people who market events don't feel like these community events are worthy of that energy. And let me tell you why I say that. I say we're very susceptible people. We easily influence people, not because we're stupid, because we're good-hearted and kind-hearted. It's something.
No, we're stupid.
I mean, that's part of it too. But I didn't want to say that out loud. It's a bit nuanced, right? We habitualize trends very easily. We just fall into these habits.
We're afraid of ourselves. We go into a McDonald's and we talk about Trump. We won't talk about Davis or Pinta. We talk about Kobe and all of those. We won't talk about our local heroes. It's like we're afraid of us. And all we right. don't want to touch us because it's too personal or something or something. Before I came here, and every day this happens, you hearing about scores in Indiana and OKC. I say, any Bahamians playing on any of those teams? Yeah. What y'all watching it for?
I'm following the playoffs. I've fallen off once the last Bahamian was out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And I could be honest with y'all, I've fallen off the NBA because I don't like the attitude that y'all have with my Bahamian players.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't like how Jimmy Butler treated Buddy Hield. And he ain't make no public apology, even though if he is the superstar, then he's the star that fell and failed to take that team for it. Put that point aside.
The dream is not each one of them playing in a major league, but an NBA. It's a team from the Bahamas, like the Timberwolves. Then we can pull for Bahamas, not mm-hmm. one getting in, one. We can been getting in from Andre Rogers, man.
Right, and so not
Michael
to...
Michael Sweetbells.
Right, you know, but so not to diss the achievements of the younger players that are getting in, but we need to say, okay, that's great and we celebrate you, but that's not any massive achievement. That's been done before. We're looking for exponential.
And we need everybody on deck, including the government and all the sports knowledge people, to help push it.
Now,
we need the 2% from the money that they promised us from these gambling people. We need to demand it. I hear some is slipping out here, some is slipping out. This is a stupid country you live in. This ain't real. Look under the table. See if it's a real country.
I think it's a real country. I'm not sure if we are real or not. But no, not just the 2%, right? The continued calls for the national lottery.
Yeah.
Right? Without a doubt. And I'm so glad it slipped from my tongue because maybe I wasn't supposed to say it.
Let me say it then.
The Tourism Development Corporation and their fund, the Tourism Development Fund, which is akin to the Consolidated Fund, right? We sacrifice our lives at the altar of tourism so that tourism can pay for the things we need. We're not sacrificing our lives at the altar of tourism to feed that money back, all that money back into tourism. That's not what it's for. And so... One of the things I expect to be funded by tourism and the tourism dollar and sponge your money never done is sports. And why sports? Because a healthy sports community landscape
keeps the country healthy.
Ah, bingo. It feeds into your healthcare and wellness strategy policy. It should be a part of it. And see, that's how I know that things ain't things. Because when people talk about healthcare, they don't talk about sports and activeness. They only talk about us being lazy.
They don't understand it.
Yeah. And then I realize that people don't, they're not really thinking about it because they don't think about what it takes to, you need parking. To go to the park, you need parking.
You need bathrooms. You need showers. You need...
Yes.
We think we're second-class citizens.
Or worse, no. We think that I'm a first-class citizen. I don't know what all y'all second-class citizens expect from me. Right? Like this, yeah. We relegate others to this life of servitude while we... Because we deserve the high life. And it's like, no. And the truth is... With the right strategy, we all could live well. We all could have the good life, right? With a better strategy. Okay, so sports and development as an idea. Is it possible that we can engage the major hotels outside of the government? right, to create a mechanism that not only funds sports but supports sports, like in the way that Atlantis does with the Battle for Atlantis, right?
They did that for them. You have to do these things at the heads of agreement signings, mm-hmm. not after they're already in and, you know, secure and all that. They ain't gonna do it. Right. It has to be written and signed off. This is what you will do, or you can't bring this thing into the country.
Oh, and absolutely. I think another thing we need to realize is we're only 400,000 people. Don't count the tourists. Don't count the tourists yet. We're only 400,000 people, right? For us to get to do things and then to compete in the modern world, we're going to have to combine our resources and our energy and our effort. When we talk about sports, you talk about the large number of sports that people are practicing and how difficult it will be to propel everybody to success on the national stage, international stage.
We have something in the Arctic called core sports that come before, 10 core sports
okay.
that the ministry has to look at first before you get into all those other little things.
Stick a pin 1 second, producer. Let's prep the caller. Mr. Mitchell, when we're done with the caller, let's go through what those core sports are. Because I was about to row about why we weren't in the breakdancing competition, but now I know that we have core sports. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you, cuz. Listen, I'm listening to you guys this morning. The gentleman was talking about the Battle of Atlantis and what it, like you guys were discussing what should be made up in the heads of agreement, but you have to remember now, when these heads of agreements are signed for these major companies bringing in stuff, okay, look at Carnival and all these other stuff with all these private islands, there was no forward thinking as to the possibilities of where the Bahamas can go in these different major companies coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's only to get a few jobs, and that's it. That's as far as the heads of agreements are signed with. All of these other things that are popping up left, right, and center, there was no forward thinking in it. This is why things like these are not signed into those things.
I got you. And there's a lack of coordination.
Planning and the whole nine yards.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, the 10 core sports.
I've watched every government from 67, and I'm sure I can say without contradiction, most of them had people in them that were former sports people.
Okay.
But for some reason, when they get out of our life and into that life, they forget what that life is all about. Right now, there's about 10 former sports people mm-hmm. in the cabinet or in the government. But it's like they still are thinking it's some jokey thing with people, y'all go play.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what's the name? Bus is selling their 15% ownership in the Lakers for $10 billion.
Yeah.
And they don't understand it, and they're scared of it. And they're always scared to do something that they can't be in control of. And it's just stupid. I keep saying the word stupid.
Well, listen,
unless until we put this thing together, ain't nothing happening.
I appreciate what you're saying, because policymakers are prepared to benefit from the use of political rhetoric, right? Like when we were young, you know, sports in the nation and nation propelled the sports propelled the nation forward, right? They have all these nice little poetic lines that they use when they're ready. But like you say, there is no actual regard for the environment. I think about it like with education, right? We have a lot of fans, a lot of people in the House, in the Senate, or most recently passed, who never went to university. Right. The article, in fact, we got a Perry Christie who was put out of school, I think, at 14. We got a Sean McQueenie who declares, I was a high school dropout, right? We have a Reverend Simeon Hall who said, look here, I drop out, and if it wasn't for the nuns on Toot Chub Corner, where would I have been, right? we have these people who were able to propel themselves to the highest offices in the country without formal education. But here we are having a conversation where people are telling us to stop saying that a D average. And I agree with them because it's an F average now. We can start saying what it is, which is an F average.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow they don't make the connection. Like, how is it that you benefited from this culture of appreciation for education to the point where you didn't need formalized training to reach the highest points in your country, but you laugh at young people who are struggling to leave high school with a third grade reading level, and you won't acknowledge that the lights don't be on all the time, the bathrooms don't work, there are not enough teachers, there are not enough supplies, the teacher's desk on blocks? Mm-hmm. Like, where's the disconnect? And so the day with so much cognitive dissonance sitting in your head. And I think that's what you're saying about sports. It's the same thing. Like, how could sports propel you to these places in the nation, but you don't make sure that the schools have lights on the courts so the children could play after dark?
Yeah, tell me that.
Or their security guards so they could be safe, occupying this time, doing the... It is frustrating, and I understand why some young people look like topsy-turvy, because they cannot make sense of what's happening around them.
And they don't feel what it means with this country.
An allegiance.
An allegiance is for those other people, not for me.
Yeah.
I don't feel a part. When I was going to Miami in the 50s, that's how old I am, they had parks that had supervision.
Mm-hmm.
That had people there to open it up, open the gates, come in around 54th Street, 22nd Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and make sure everybody in it was safe.
Yeah.
Now we in 2025, almost 100 years later, and we jiving around. Ain't a real country, I tell you.
Let me,
the leaders ain't real.
Let me make a point to mention, because of my injury, I didn't bring my bag up with me, or I would have had the notes that I already prepared for the top of this week so I could ask MP Bonamy, like, what you mean you $7 million over budget and look at the state of the parks?
Yeah. What are they talking about?
Where did the money go? Was it to put the Wi-Fi in that people can't use because there's nowhere to sit in the park?
Do that first, and then tell me where the $100,000 went.
Yeah.
But take care of the people first. In fact, this election can be about what y'all gonna do.
Because here's the thing.
I'll be for real.
Parks are for people that don't have front room. Parks are for people who 17 people living in one house.
Get out.
Parks are for people who parents can't afford to give their children their own TV.
Right.
Right. And I can say that because I had my own TV from when I was a children. Parks are for people who...
The other aspect
is,
if you see success in swimming, you see it in track and field, I will bet you that there's support, both parents, behind the children that normally succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet without looking, I'll just ask, both parents involved with the child gonna get over those other children without a doubt.
Yeah, but it's not the talent of the child, it's the support system that's boosting them. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miles Green. Can I have
2 seconds? All right, if you're calling on 325-4316 and you're having difficulty getting in or staying on the line, call 323-6232 or 325-4259 or 242-300-5720. It's for my Family Island listeners. You're calling. I mean, if you have electricity. If the power's on, call in.
Yeah, but...
Because let me take it a step further and talk about the proximity or lack thereof of Family Island athletes, right?
Well, to sporting. That's another thing altogether. I have community baseball here. I have Mario Ford baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
People like Mario and Papa Smith and those running these camps for years.
Yeah.
And you think the politicians get so much a month or whatever that money is that Christie didn't use and turn back in to go there and say, here's $100 or $100,000 and put this in the camp, dress the children, let them feel like they're people, get them gloves, bats, and catches equipment, and stop bull skating around here as if y'all are somebody and these children just supposed to grow themselves.
Yeah, and that's
on top
it right
of
there.
Them supposed to slave every year as if they get... Only joy to get out of it is to see a child succeed.
Yeah.
If Jeff Francis and those trying
and then
trying.
When that child comes back as an adult with their own child, yeah. Right? We didn't even get to Family Island yet. I think it's important to emphasize to young people that sustainable projects, right, like sustainability, it takes an investment of time.
And I just asked the lady who came in before we, with your show, if she got the presidency of the Carver Garden Club, because she was sitting in the room and nobody else would take it. And she say, I'll take it. That's how sports is done in this yeah. country. Those who love the game and lead it think that they are the best promoters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they know nothing about that
side of
the
game. Yeah.
But they won't be that too, or have somebody... They call in that in the organization when they should hire a whole company
to do that part of it.
That part of it.
All right, let's go to the caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
This is Quincy Pratt here.
Yes, sir.
I just want to bank up 1 minute. What I want to say is that I have all my boxing equipment, and I'm looking to hold a small summer camp in any of the urban areas. Okay.
Okay.
I contacted our Urban Renewal, and they told me that they don't have any money in the budget. So if anyone can assist me with getting a program in any one of the urban area, it would be nice. They have my equipment just sitting down doing nothing.
Okay.
Okay. And let's get these young boys on the right track.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's Thriller Minute Pratt trying to connect with resources and organizers. He's got the equipment. He's got the expertise. And he's willing to put on training camps.
Start with 4 or 5 children. Don't try to start as a whole huge.
And let me emphasize to parents, when you hear about a boxing club, right, they're not just teaching people how to hit people. The most important part is they're teaching you how to not get hit.
Yeah.
And that's the skill that you, right? Like you say, I don't know if I want to teach my child how to hit. No. What you want to teach your child is the critical thinking skills, the spatial awareness, the empathy. You're watching some of these big MMA matches. I love watching these little clips. And the most amazing thing is when the fighter knocked the boy, and he know he knocked him out. The boy who got knocked out don't know he's knocked out yet. But he knows he knocks him out, and he exercises restraint.
Right.
Spatial awareness, right? And discipline. I've seen them. They go in for that last hit, but that's just aesthetic and optics because they know they're not going to strike that opponent anymore because they know they don't have to, right? And these are the skills that your young people and your young men will be learning at a boxing camp. Not how to start a fight, not how to stop a fight, but how to avoid a fight.
That's right.
Thank you, Thriller Minute Pratt. And there are lots of, again, you emphasize, JJ is one of them.
Yeah.
There are lots of men out here that have committed themselves and their resources, not just to their own children. They say, I is man, and any child on this ground where I am, I is man over them. And that means responsibility, right? I oversee, I protect, I ensure. And we say thank you to those men on the heels of Father's Day. Because we ain't talking enough about the men them and the fathers them on Father's Day.
When I was growing up, men always did these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They always had something going for young people. And we can name them. If you sit around with men who are 60, 70, 70 years old, they will call the same names in mm-hmm. basketball, in, you know, baseball, and...
And they do so because those people impacted their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. This sports is not just about sports. It's not just about ratings. It's not just about merchandising or what NIL, name, image, and likeness. It's about sense of self, sense of place, sense of belonging. Those are the things that build strong citizens.
So let's get out there and go to the parks, go to the places where young people are participating and support them. You don't have to have a child. Take your child with you.
And listen, you have to go. You have to occupy the space. Because the policymakers, and trust me, in the back room, you know, they say, nobody use that park. Why are we investing that money in that?
Right.
Occupy the space. Yeah. It is yours. And I can tell you why. The migrants are going to occupy it.
Yes.
There's so many people in China. You could see them. They take advantage of what's available. Our Indian brothers and sisters, they live in the east. You watch them walk, celebrate the sidewalk. They're like, what? Sidewalk? These are things we take for granted in our own country. Let's get out, occupy the spaces, and tell the powers that be, we're here and we need the resources where we are. And your bougie people in the suburbs like me, for parents who, at that time, the vision was to build the country, you needed to move out of the inner city into suburbia. We kind of created a vacuum in the inner city. Wow. And now we're mad at the people who moved in. But what we do is we go back and we occupy. In fact, Uncle Stanley, I know why I break my toe. All yesterday, I was dreaming of going and creating Mitchell Mango Tree. Oh, all yesterday. That's why.
Tell you one thing. There was only one of my scarlet plum tree in the whole of the Fort Hill.
Yeah.
It was in the Burnside yard, Jackson and Stanley.
Yeah.
And we couldn't wait for that one to just... The hog plums is all about.
Yeah.
When the scarlet come, we'll be going up there and trust you what we could get.
That's why all these high jump champions come out of the Fort Hill.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, producer. We're all out of time. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray is up next.
Come on. Check this. I's a Bahamian. Love to join us soon. But if you let me get first, sure. But I'm sorry for
this
you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.